Do you think that investigators and you specifically have accepted this as, at least for the moment, you know, standard of care?
Yes, I think so. And certainly, you know, from a patient perspective, patients are very motivated, if they're PD-L1 positive, to access this therapy, absolutely.
But yet, the thing that's motivating people the most is survival, which is really a nice bump. It kind of reminds me of Cleopatra. It was like, whoa, where did that come from? But yet, technically, you have this issue with the statistics. Can you talk about how you view that and why it is that you turn around and go, okay, even though it wasn't the statistical design, I'm treating?
I mean, it was a large study, and it was very well conducted. The PD-L1 positive subgroup was 41%. I think that it's just the way that they set up the statistical design, because it was this hierarchical design. If they had flipped it and tested, you know, in the PD-L1 population first, and then if positive there to test in the overall population, it would have been different. So I think for most of us, we think that the signal is real. Certainly, there are going to be more data coming out, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months. There is another trial, IMPASSION 131, which is looking at paclitaxel atezolizumab, that will provide some additional data. And then we're all really curious to see the KEYNOTE 355, which is the first-line triple-negative breast cancer study for pembrolizumab with various chemotherapy combinations. So that is a huge study at this moment in time that's outstanding. And so I think as we get these data in, things will become a lot clearer in this space.